Welcome to the Q3 2015 earnings analyst call. My name is Corey, and I will be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to James Davis. Mr. Davis, you may begin.
Thank you, Corey. Good morning and welcome to FMC Technologies' third quarter 2015 earnings conference call. Our news release and financial statements issued yesterday can be found on our website. I would like to caution you with respect to any forward-looking statements made during this call. Although these forward-looking statements are based on our current expectations, beliefs, and assumptions regarding future developments and business conditions, they are subject to certain risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those expressed in or implied by these statements. No material factors that could cause our actual results to differ from our projected results are described in our 10-K, 10-Q, and other filings with the SEC. We wish to caution you not to place undue reliance on any forward-looking statements which speak only as of the date hereof. We undertake no obligation to publicly update or revise any of our forward-looking statements after the date they were made, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. I will now turn the call over to John Grimp, FMC Technologies Chairman and CEO.
Good morning. Welcome to our third quarter 2015 conference call. With me today are Marianne Seaman, our Chief Financial Officer, and Doug Pruderhert, our President and Chief Operating Officer. I'll discuss highlights from the quarter, Marianne will provide specifics on our financial performance, and then we'll open up the call for your questions. Earnings were 61 cents per diluted share for the quarter, excluding the impairment charges of $60.2 million and total company restructuring charges of $18 million. Total company quarterly revenue was $1.5 billion and operating profit was $224 million, again excluding the impairment and business restructuring charges. Quarterly revenue for Subsea Technologies was $1.1 billion with margins of 16.9%, excluding the subsea business restructuring charges. Our focus on execution and the strength of our backlog continues to drive our strong margins. For the full year, we still expect subsea margins, excluding the restructuring charges, of around 15%. Our quarterly Subsea Technologies inbound orders totaled more than $1 billion for the second quarter in a row, bringing our year-to-date total to $2.6 billion. Improved deepwater project economics are imperative to ensure that this critical resource is available to meet the world's future hydrocarbon demand. Our focus on improved execution, standardization, innovative technology, and the vendor-based integrated business models will both significantly and sustainably reduce cost and improve returns for deepwater developments. We recently announced awards for Statoil's Johan Sverdrup project in Norway and Shell's Appomattox project in the Gulf of Mexico. In the case of both of these awards, we collaborated closely with our customers to identify the most cost-effective solutions to improve project economics. Given the awards achieved this quarter, the anticipated smaller orders next quarter, and sustaining a strong level of subsea services activity, we have further confidence to achieve our targeted full-year inbound guidance of at least $3 billion of inbound orders in 2015. Based on the number of named future subsea projects and the progress made on improving project economics, 2016 subsea market activity has the potential to be on par with 2015. However, given the continued uncertainty of oil prices and capital spending by the operators, we lack the visibility to project subsea orders for next year. Now, despite this uncertainty, operators remain committed to deep water. They're prioritizing capital spending towards production, and they've been successful in improving project economics, all of which support the future growth in subsea activity. Operators continue to show a willingness to accept vendor-based approaches versus the traditional client-specific requirements. An example of this is the addition of Chevron to our high-pressure, high-temperature joint industry program that was announced in July of last year. Our company, along with five operators, are collaborating to help solve the technical and economic deepwater challenges through standardization of materials, processes, and interfaces. We continue supporting our customers' producing assets by leveraging our installed footprint and technology leadership to improve project economics through cost savings and increased recovery. We've reached an agreement to produce a multi-phase pump solution for Shell's BC-10 field in Brazil to replace the current separation and boosting modules. At this time, the agreement covers just the first boosting unit. As we previously mentioned in our second quarter earnings call, the initial response from operators to Forces Subsea, our joint venture with Technip, exceeded our expectations. Operators' acceptance of our vendor-based integrated approach at the concept stage as being both real and compelling is evident by the receipt of two integrated front-end engineering studies in this quarter. The commitment from these operators gives us further confidence that our alliance with Technip will be awarded an integrated EPC contract in 2016. Turning to the performance of our surface technology segment, revenue remained flat sequentially as our surface wellhead business outside of North America performed well, offset by further weakness in our North American onshore business. Given the decline in the North America onshore activity, our fluid control orders remain well below historic levels. The North American rig count is expected to further deteriorate, and in response, customer spending remains depressed and pricing will remain under pressure. In light of this market outlook, we've taken aggressive action and continue to streamline our North American initiatives to improve our cost structure. Our surface wellhead business outside of North America performed well in the quarter. We expect activity to remain similar to current levels as we end the year. However, we expect future months will begin to show the impact of pricing pressure as a result of a deteriorating global market. We're restructuring our operations in response to this weaker market. In summary, we continue to see a challenged North America land market and do not expect any recovery as we go into 2016. We're taking aggressive action as we manage through this downturn to improve our operating effectiveness, and we continue to accelerate our strategic initiatives to improve our position in the North American onshore market. We remain confident in our ability to deliver full-year subsea margins of around 15%, excluding restructuring charges. We'll continue to strategically restructure our subsea segment in line with anticipated activity levels, and also in a way that allows us to sustainably operate with a leaner organization in anticipation of a market recovery. During the quarter, we achieved important milestones in our effort to improve deepwater project economics through execution, standardization, technology, and new business models. These milestones are also evidence of the industry's willingness to adopt real and compelling changes in how deepwater fields are developed. Marianne will now take you through the financial details of the quarter.
Thanks, John. Before I review our operations, I would like to note, as announced on Monday, that our third quarter earnings results were negatively impacted by impairment charges, primarily in our Surface Technologies segment, of 20 cents per diluted share. We also incurred business restructuring charges, mainly in the Subsea Technologies segment, of 6 cents per diluted share, as previously communicated. When excluding the impact of these two items, diluted earnings per share were 61 cents for the quarter. Our Subsea Technologies segment continued to deliver strong operating results as we executed well on our strong project backlog and cost reduction initiatives are being realized. Quarter-over-quarter revenue comparisons were negatively impacted by $155 million of foreign currency translation. Subsea Technologies operating profit of $171 million in the quarter. Quarter-over-quarter comparisons were negatively impacted by $27 million of foreign currency translations due to the strength of the dollar. Operating margins were 15.6%. We incurred business restructuring costs of $14.6 million in the quarter. Excluding the impact of foreign currency translation and restructuring charges, operating profit was up approximately 4% year over year. As you may remember, we communicated on our last quarterly call that we expected to see cost in coming quarters for restructuring in our subsea business. Excluding these costs, margins were 16.9%, a sequential improvement of 170 basis points when excluding the comparable charge in the second quarter. Our subsea segment has yet to see a decline in activity, and in fact, absent the headwinds from the strength of the U.S. dollar, year-to-date subsea revenue is actually up slightly from 2014. The actions we have taken throughout this year, including the significant actions in the third quarter, will help us develop a stronger and leaner organization as we prepare for the decline in activity in 2016. We have further restructuring within the organization. We will have, further restructuring within the organization in the fourth quarter. As we enter 2016, our subsea organization headcount will be more reflective of the anticipated decrease in activity due to delayed subsea project inbound. As we see 2016 activity, we will make further assessments on our operating structure. We anticipate an additional $6 to $8 million of restructuring charges in the fourth quarter. We continue to experience headwinds due to the strengthening U.S. dollar. Looking at the first three quarters of 2015, the U.S. dollar is significantly stronger against currencies we have the greatest exposure to, the NOK, the euro, and the real. Subsea revenue for the first 9 months of 2015 includes more than $400 million of unfavorable impact, and operating profit includes more than $60 million of unfavorable impact due to the strong U.S. dollar. Absent a foreign currency translation, total revenue year-to-date is slightly favorable year-over-year, and operating profit year-to-date increased by approximately $45 million year-over-year. Moving to our Surface Technology results. Surface Technology reported operating profits for the third quarter of $37 million, excluding impairment charges of $58 million, primarily related to our Canadian business, and restructuring charges of $2 million. Excluding these costs, operating margins were 10.3%. These results represent continued strength in our non-North America surface wellhead business. As this is a later cycled business compared to North America, we continue working off a healthy backlog and saw an increase in orders in the quarter. However, current pricing is beginning to reflect a more challenging environment. As John stated, we do not expect to see a recovery before next year in our North American businesses. As discussed in the last earnings call, we are continuing to reduce our operating cost structure for North America while integrating related products and services to deliver greater value to our customer. We expect these actions to continue through the fourth quarter and will result in further headcount reductions with an expected cost of approximately $4 to $6 million. These actions will continue to reduce cost and improve our competitive position as the market recovers. Segment backlog exiting the quarter stands at $495 million. This continues to predominantly be reflective of our surface wellhead business outside of North America. Moving to our final segment, energy infrastructure revenue for the third quarter was $97 million. Operating loss for the segment was $2 million, as our profitable loading systems results were more than offset by continued slower activity in our measurement solutions business. In the quarter, we incurred restructuring cost of $1.7 million. Given that lower activity levels are likely to continue, we expect to incur additional restructuring charges of approximately $2 million in the fourth quarter due to further headcount reductions. Let me turn to our corporate items. Corporate expense in the quarter was $15 million. We expect spending of approximately $17 million in the fourth quarter of 2015, including anticipated restructuring charges of approximately $3 million associated with headcount reductions. Other revenue and expense net reflects expense of $22 million. For the fourth quarter, we expect other revenue and expense to be approximately $15 million, with the potential for further foreign currency fluctuation increasing this amount. Our third quarter tax rate was 19.2%, primarily due to a change in geographical earnings mix. We expect our 2015 full-year tax rate to be between 24 and 26%, which includes the U.S. tax audit settlement discussed last quarter. Capital spending this quarter was $50 million. We expect capital spending in 2015 of approximately $250 million. At the end of the third quarter, we had net debt of $583 million. It is comprised of $712 million of cash and $1.3 billion of debt. We averaged 231 million diluted shares outstanding in the quarter. We repurchased 1.7 million shares of stock during the third quarter at an average cost of $33.95 per share. In summary, we expect total company restructuring charges in the fourth quarter of $15 to $20 million. Looking forward, energy infrastructure revenue is now expected to be down more than 25% year over year, with full year margins in the mid-single digits negatively impacted by the poor results due to slower activity in our measurement solutions business. We no longer expect to see a recovery in this business in the next few quarters, given that activity corresponds to the North American market. As indicated, we continue to take actions to improve performance. Surface Technologies revenue is expected to be down nearly 30% from last year due to reduced North American market activity. Full-year operating margins will be approximately 10%, excluding business restructuring and impairment charges, as we will see continued pricing pressure. Subsea revenue for the full year should be approximately $4.6 billion, as the strengthening of the U.S. dollar continues to make a greater negative impact. Absent the headwinds, we are having our strongest year in subsea revenues. We continue to expect subsea margins, excluding restructuring charges, of around 15%, as we execute well in our backlog and cost reduction initiatives improve performance. The current market conditions are presenting a number of challenges to our near-term results. However, the actions related to the strategies we are implementing across our businesses will result in long-term cost savings while preserving our capabilities to improve our execution as the market recovers. Operator, you may now open up the call for questions.
Thank you. We'll now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you're using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Please limit yourself to one question and one follow-up question. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. And our first question comes from James West from Evercore. James, your line is open.
Thanks, and good morning.
Good morning, James.
John, as you think about 16, you made the comment that you know, subsea orders could rival 2015, but you weren't. It didn't sound totally confident on that. When do you get that confidence that it could be similar, maybe even better? Is it just oil prices? Is it your customer budget coming out in the next couple of months? Is it the behind the scenes bidding activity that we're not seeing? I mean, what's really the driver that would increase that confidence?
The driver, James, the driver absolutely is the capital budgets from the operators, which have not been set, and then something else, and that is when those budgets are set, will these projects be included in that capital budget? And this is kind of unprecedented for us. In the past, we had a rough idea of what the capital budgets were at this time, and we knew whether or not projects would be included in that capital budget. Now, on the positive side, we know that the number of named big projects that would make up subsea inbound for the market, that they exist. And we also know that we've made a lot of progress, we meaning the industry, has made a lot of progress in improving the economics. What we don't know is what the capital budgets are going to be and whether or not these projects are going to be included. And that's the uncertainty that we haven't had in the past that we have today. And I think once we see those capital budgets and we know whether or not these projects are included, we'll have a lot more confidence in 2016 subsea inbound.
Okay, so around the next quarter's release, you probably should have a much better feel.
I would certainly hope so.
And then a follow-up on that, on subsea, with the restructuring that's underway, the significant restructuring that I think Doug is spearheading, does that change your view of subsea margins at all for next year, or was that incorporated already in the guidance that you provided last quarter?
Yeah, it's incorporated. I think, you know, when we talk about 2016 margins, we know that there are some natural headwinds. We are going to have more of the down cycle pricing in backlog starting to flow through the revenue stream in 2016. We also know that our revenue, because we'll be going into the year with a lower backlog, that our revenue will be down about 10%. Now, those are two headwinds that will drive our margins down from what we're experiencing this year, and we've suggested that those margins would be a range of 11 to 13%, biased towards the 13%. We are assuming good execution to get to that 13%, but we're also assuming that some of the restructuring that we're doing now and into early next year will help us offset those headwinds in terms of 2016 margins.
Okay, got it. Thanks, John.
Yep.
And our next question comes from David Anderson from Barclays. David, your line is open.
Great, thanks. Hey, John, I just wanted to dig down a little bit more into those two FEED study awards from Forsys. Can you help us just understand a little bit, these projects, were they already on the drawing board but the economics just didn't work out? And is your expectation to be able to take 30% of the costs out of the SURF portion of these projects?
Dave, I think what we're realizing, I mentioned this in the last call, that the interest by the operators in this different business model has exceeded our expectation. One of the things that we found of particular interest was that those projects that had not been started in terms of concept design and had maybe been sort of shelved in terms of the project economics were the ones that the operators seemed to have the most interest in applying the Forsys methodology. And the two FEED studies that we received the awards for, I think both fit into that category. These are projects that may or may not have actually been able to go forward had it not been for this different approach. I'd like Doug to comment more, though, specifically on overall the interest that we've had on the FEED studies and these two awards that we've got a little bit of more color on what was behind them. Doug?
Thank you, John. David, you may recall last quarter we talked about a wide range of interest from partners as well as non-partners, interest from independents as well as IOCs and NOCs, and also that the approach we were finding had great applicability in both greenfields as well as brownfields. So if we look at these two awards that we're discussing today, it actually fits into that category. So the first was for an independent operator who was a non-partner, and this is a greenfield approach. This is actually at the